Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. We have back on our program today a special guest, Patty Garibay. Now, she was on talking about American Heritage Girls a few days back, and we got discussing a little bit about her upcoming book, Why Curse the Darkness When You Can Light a Candle. And I wanted to get her back on just so we can discuss this book, because it's so interesting. You're going to be really intrigued by her story and this book, and I wanted to go over that with her. Now, just to give you some quick background in case you missed our last episode, Patty Garibay with her husband are co-founders of American Heritage Girls. It's a wholesome scouting alternative for girls. And in her autobiography, Patty gives readers a glimpse into her journey from the humble beginnings of American Heritage Girls, which really started around her kitchen table in Cincinnati, Ohio, to where it is today. It's a formidable national organization offering a positive environment and really, truly a largely godless culture. And she's considered to be a living tribute to the traditional values of old, offering an alternative to a lonesome online world. And Patty's word for American Heritage Girls, she delights in her mission to help raise godly girls, praise God, helping them to make real friends who really talk, really chat, who also happen to enjoy camping and other outdoor activities as well. And like I said, she is the author of the book, Why Curse the Darkness When You Can Light a Candle. It's going to be released in September 2020. And help me welcome back to the program, Patty Garibay. Patty, thank you for coming back on the show today.
Thank you for having me, Pastor Bob. It's a pleasure.
Amen. Now, for those that missed our prior interview, let's just go ahead and do our first question again, which is, other than that brief little information I just shared, tell us in your own words, who is Patty Garibay?
Patty Garibay is a Christ follower. She loves the Lord. She came to the Lord when she was 23 years old, a little late start for a lot of people, but hey, that's what happened, and that's part of my story. And I'm also a mother of four children, a wife of one guy, and I have nine grandchildren. So we are very blessed with a large family. My husband, Pat, and I have been married for over 40 years, and we enjoy living here in Cincinnati, Ohio, and doing ministry together.
Amen. Just as a side note here, as we get going, you know, like I said, I've got seven grandkids, and whenever we do a family trip, you know, the Disney World or something like that, I mean, it's like I'm the platoon sergeant. We have a platoon of people, you know. Yes. It's no longer, oh, let's go over here and have, you know, and eat dinner type thing. I mean, you have to have reservations. It's like, you know, a catered event for family barbecue, you know.
It is formidable. And, you know, every Sunday, we are so blessed. All of our kids have come back home to roost, so to speak. They live in Cincinnati. And every Sunday, we have Sunday dinners. And so there's 20 of us around that table. So that kitchen table has gotten bigger and bigger.
Amen. When we go on trips, we joke about, you know, would it be cheaper just for us to charter our own jet?
Yeah.
Amen. Now, this book, Why Curse Darkness, this book is your autobiography?
It's a memoir of types. Okay. It really is focusing on saying yes to the Lord, despite your struggles with a fear of inadequacy. And so really, it is a story of redemption. It's a story of hope. And it's a story that has a call to action. Mm-hmm. And that is to serve him. If he calls you, obey. And the blessing will be unbelievable.
Amen. Amen. So why this book and why now?
That's a great question. Well, you know, it's American Heritage Girls 25th anniversary. For 25 years, they've been doing ministry for girls. It seemed to be the appropriate time. There is no question that the Lord had called me to write this down, very much like the Deuteronomy verse, you know, put this over the doorposts of your mind, on your forehead, etc., so that people understand the story. Because the story of God's faithfulness, grace, and mercy is one that we need to continue to have our stones, you know, make sure that the next generation knows about it. Mm-hmm. Joshua built, you know, had the stones, we have the book. So it's mm-hmm. sort of, it's that, it's a living testament to God's faithfulness.
Amen. Amen. That's awesome. Now, you know, in your book, you talk about the personal struggles that you had, you know, in feelings of inadequacy and things like that. Tell us about that and how God helped you overcome that.
Absolutely. You know, the book opens with my father's funeral, and all of us have lost loved ones and know that those pivotal times on our life's reel, so to speak, can really be life-changing. And we're at this, mm-hmm. this fork in the road. What are we going to do in regards to a reaction to this loss? And for me, my father and I were extremely close. This book also underscores the importance of a dad in a girl's life. And my father was a very interesting human being. He was a brilliant man. He had 2 degrees, and he also was an engineer and worked on computers back when that was not a normal thing. Computers were the size of an entire room, not something you could walk around with, you know. And his brilliance, and he also was very athletic. He was able to go to college for free due to his athleticism. And that was a blessing. But when I was 4 years old, my father started experiencing some changes in his physical abilities. Mm-hmm. He felt tingling around his knees, like rubber bands were around his knees. He felt mm-hmm. double vision, etc. And at that time, our family had been transferred to Boston, Massachusetts, and my father was charged with helping to build the Apollo space shield because of his brilliance in engineering. So here we were in Boston, Massachusetts, away from all of our family, and my mother had, we had three, there were three children. I was the youngest, and my baby brother was just born. So wondering what was wrong with Dad, who, like I said, had always been athletic and healthy, went to the Boston Medical Center and found out that he had been diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. Now today we hear about MS, and it's a chronic illness. It's a horrible illness. It's an autoimmune illness. But for my dad, it was an acute form of MS. And it wasn't long before he was actually pretty much committed to a wheelchair. Wow. And was unable to walk, unable to work, but yet his mind was still brilliant. He, despite his disability, was the most impactful man in my life. And he is the one that I would go to tell him about the situation I was in with the Girl Scouts and the changes that were pending and what was I to do. And he was the one that said to me, "Patty, why curse the darkness? Light a candle, start something new." And so that's how the book begins. Mm-hmm. And as you can imagine, being a child of a person with acute illness, and then my mother does not have the right coping mechanisms. We were not a family of strong faith with relationship to Christ. She fell into alcoholism. And you can imagine what growing up in a family like that might be like. I share the story not to ask for pity, but rather to let people know that when these situations happen to you, are you going to use them as a reason or an excuse?
Amen. Yeah, that's right. Amen.
And for me, I used it as a reason, and it put fire in my belly that childhood should be filled with beautiful memories, that we all need to know the biblical truths that the Lord has given us through his word, and that we need to understand the role of women and how unique and beautiful it is. So those are some of the big, big pieces, but also sort of, you know, taking on the Girl Scouts. And there's some really clear things that happened to me in regards to that. And it was pretty unbelievable. But it also lets us know what some of the very progressive agenda in our country is, and how targeting youth is number one on the priority list.
Yeah, because if they have the youth, then they have the leaders for tomorrow.
Amen. That's right.
I mean, it's not a haphazard thing that they're trying to do. I mean, it's a well thought out plan, which is, you know, I'm not going to go into all of it here, but I've discussed in various formats before about this all started back in the 1960s when, oh, we got to take the Ten Commandments down from the wall in public schools. Oh, we can't have the Bible out on the desk in public schools. Oh, we can't have prayer in public schools. It was all, you know, just the first steps to where we're at today.
And correct. And I, of course, was a product of all of that, you know, and so there were mistakes made along the journey, right? Yep. But what the Lord does with that is he redeems us and allows us to serve him, even though we might be the most unlikely candidate to serve him. We need to remember he does not call the equipped. He equips the called.
Amen.
And that he will bring you to it and he will bring you through it. Not to be too colloquial, but it's true.
That's right. Amen. And, you know, the other, I can't remember where I initially heard this. I started saying when I was in the military, you know, with the stuff that I had, you know, the special ops and stuff that I go, that which does not kill me can only make me stronger.
Amen. So true. Yeah. That's true in the spiritual realm as well, right?
That's right. Amen. You know, when you come through something and the only reason you came through is God.
Yes.
Then the only answer is God, which means he had a plan for it all along.
You know? Absolutely.
Now, it may not have been him that said, okay, I'm going to throw this disease on you or whatever it is. But what, you know, as we see with the virus, this coronavirus going around, you know, God didn't say, okay, I'm going to slap the world with a coronavirus. No, this is a plan of the devil. Mm-hmm. But what the devil meant for harm, God can turn to good. And that's what it sounds like he did with you, with everything you were going through.
Absolutely. He is the Redeemer. And this, like I said, is a story of redemption.
Yeah.
Now, as a young woman, and I had, in college, I was even at one point an existentialist. I was very interested in philosophy. I was a French major. I was raised in a faith tradition that was not one that really preached the Bible or encouraged one to read the Bible at the time. And so I was really trying to find my way. Mm-hmm. And that way was often designated by what the social mores were. And as you mentioned before, in the 1960s, with the removal of prayer and the Ten Commandments, and of course, for women, the big thing was the Roe v. Wade being approved in 73 and what that changed. And so in the book, I have a section after each chapter that really is pointed to the reader who I pray feels very loved through this journey of this book, because that is who I wrote it for. And it's, have you considered? And I have different questions that I ask that upon reflection, you know, and we can do this as we gather and gain in wisdom, you know, when have you gone against what the cultural elites might say is okay and even legal to do what was right in God's word? And where does that juxtaposition put you? And as we know, we are not citizens of this world. We are citizens of the kingdom of God, and that makes us different, right? So there's a lot of stuff like that that we talk about. We talk a lot about some of the historical markers of my life, which is shared with many other people. The death of JFK, for instance, while we lived in Boston, Massachusetts, and the fall of Camelot. I talk about Camelot and how many people have created their own Camelot, their own dreams for their lives, and then life happens.
Yeah.
And they tumble down. And what do we deal with? How do we deal with it? Do we deal with it like perhaps my mom was dealing with it, or how I dealt with it? No. We have a Savior who is here to comfort us and to help bring us through it. So that's really what the book's about. It's not a child's book by any means. It's for the adult. It's for the young adult and the adult to look at this and say, you know what? Despite my past, there is a bright future. Amen. You know, my dad used to say, the past is the past. The future is unknown. But today is a present, and that's why it's called that. And so that's where I'm hoping people's minds will be when they read this book and they're blessed.
Amen. Amen. That's awesome. You know, and that book, in conjunction with what you're doing with American Heritage Girls, I mean, helping girls and you know, to become godly women, basically, right? Mm-hmm. And how does this ministry, American Heritage Girls, help them combat anxiety issues?
Mm. Well, the key thing for us and American Heritage Girls is for girls to understand their identity, and is their identity in Christ. So who they are and whose they are. So biblical understanding of the nature of God is very integral to you understanding your own nature when you reflect his love. And so we talk a lot about that, and it makes what it does. The program is a beautifully transforming program in that it does life with the girls, okay? It's not just, it's for girls ages 5 to 18. It is chartered through churches who provide spiritual oversight and resources necessary to disciple these girls via this program. Mm-hmm. It is using spiritual mentors, which are adult leaders that have been approved by that charter organization that want to make a difference in girls' lives, leave a legacy in their community, and forward the kingdom of God. So these are people on a mission that are volunteering in American Heritage Girls. Mm-hmm. And then together with all of that, the beautiful, it's almost like a melange, the trio of ways that we do this. The girls actually learn life skills through a biblical worldview lens. Mm-hmm. So they're able to say, oh gosh, you know, it's really neat. And our new handbooks, which are being released this year too, we're into the publishing business apparently this year. Our new handbooks have something, a new badge in our science and technology area. It's called biomimicry. Okay. And this is again through a biblical worldview. Biomimicry, in case your listeners may not know what that is, is when science takes on something that is found in nature, created by God, to create a solution to a problem that we have as a society. So, for instance, you might think about water repellent to be able to waterproof something. So you can go camping, right? Like your tent or something. And 3M mm-hmm. developed a product after studying penguins and the water repellency on their feathers. So but biomimicry is going to be it's a brand new badge. It's in our new handbooks, and it's already shown to be very popular, and that the girls want to have an understanding of their world, but they want to understand it through a biblical worldview lens, which is very different than what the world offers them.
Amen. Amen. So when they start going through this program, and you said age 8 is where they start?
5 to 18, of girlhood.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So at age 5, what are the foundations that you instill in them?
Absolutely. That age 5 is our pre-reader or kindergarten program, which is called the Pathfinder program. And what the girls do in that curricula is really understand the American Heritage Girl Oath. Now, you might remember the reason why AHG in the previous program, the reason why AHG or American Heritage Girls was developed was because the Girl Scouts had changed the Girl Scout promise. Well, our oath, the American Heritage Girl Oath, needless to say, has a strong promise to God, and it reads, I promise to love God, cherish my family, honor my country, and serve in my community. Mm-hmm. And so these young girls at age 5 are learning they're learning and understanding that American Heritage Girl Oath, which is the foundation for the rest of the program. Now, girls do not have to join at the age of 5. They can join at the age of 15 if they want. At any point, girls are welcome into the HG program. But when you do start at 5, you start to have building blocks of understanding about what we're trying to achieve through the American Heritage Girl program.
Amen. So in your book, Why Curse Darkness When You Light a Candle, the candle you lit, obviously, is American Heritage Girls. Mm-hmm. What are you, or how are you teaching them to light their own candles as they go through life?
Well, if we remember on that oath, I promise to love God, cherish my family, honor my country, and serve in my community. Service is a big component of American Heritage Girls. We chatted a little bit in the previous broadcast about what the girls were doing around COVID, that the fact that they were sewing masks and creating Easter baskets and just doing wonderful acts of service. And what service does is it not only connects hearts, which the Lord has created us in, to be people of connection, but also it helps girls to discover their vocation. Now, you know, I love to use that word vocation versus career, because back before the Industrial Revolution, vocation was what one used the word for to create your career, to talk about your career, because they believed it was a vocal or a calling rather than something you just did to have skills in and to make money. It was truly a calling. So I like to say girls' vocation. They're finding this through serving others. So for instance, there we have alumna that are now nurses because they first learned about, through emergency preparedness badge, their love for nursing. I have another girl that is a geophysicist on the Big Island of Hawaii working at Hawaii National Park. She had interest at the beginning from a calling through a geology badge that got her excited. There's others that have gone into more of the social services because of the service projects that they've been involved with, and they're very interested in feeding the homeless and helping those that are involved in sexual trafficking. And they've just got a big heart for today's issues and know that they're not just going to be part of the problem. No, no, no. They're going to be part of the solution.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, that's so important, because if they know, you know, not every person is called to go and fight, you know, sex trafficking. Mm-hmm. Not every person is called to run for political office. Not every person is called to be a housewife and stay-at-home mom. I mean, it is a calling.
Yes.
And through American Heritage Girls, they're learning to sense what their calling is and walk in that direction. And that comes back to the point of your book that, you know, you, your father with that, I mean, I love that expression, you know, why curse darkness when you can light a candle? You know, you were explaining some of the issues and thoughts that you had about the Girl Scouts and all that. And he just planted that thought. And look where it came, I mean, you know, 25 years later. And you're helping these girls, you know, someone may have an issue. I mean, how teenage, oh, Lord have mercy. I had two daughters and then, granddaughters and all that. And it seems like the girls are always, they hit that age when, you know, I can't even describe everything is an emotional roller coaster. Let's just put it like that, you know?
Yes.
And, you know, and you're right there with them in that development. You know, how are you helping to shape them to make that decision that, you know, yes, I know you love Johnny so much, but guess what? You know, I mean, you're 12 years old. You know,
absolutely. You know, we have what we call six program emphases, and these program emphases include faith, leadership, citizenship, social, emotional, and life skills. And so the badges and all that are through the life skills, but that's only 1/6 of the program. We talk a lot about emotional health. The girls learn things that are very applicable, not only for where they are today, but also in the future. For instance, bullying, conflict resolution, these kinds of issues we talk about very frankly with the girls, and they're different program components for them to understand how to deal with these emotions. Because emotions in and of themselves are not bad. It's how we can control these emotions, how we can utilize these emotions for good. I mean, emotions like compassion and passion itself are very good, but they need to be harnessed around the biblical worldview, and the Lord completely addresses all these things in his scripture. Yeah. And so this is all very relevant, right?
Amen. Amen. So in your book, do you go into some of that?
As far as the emotions?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, yes. And from my purview, right? How I dealt with them or didn't deal with them, how I would bury them, how guilt was my primary leading emotion. And we know that that does not come from the Lord. So yes, we're dealing with, it's to use a popular term being used today, it's Patty Garibay unmasked. you know, it is what it is. It is truth. It was not an easy book to write. Mm. When you have gone beyond where you were, when you have a new life in Christ, when you have a redemption story, it's often difficult to go back to that past that you wish you never really had. Mm-hmm. But you know what? The Lord called me to this, saying that there was someone out there, and even if it's just one reader, that needed to say, you know what? If she can do it, I can do it.
Yeah, amen.
Hey, folks, Pastor Bob here. We're all out of time for today's portion of the interview with Patty Garibay. Oh, man. I love American Heritage Girls and this autobiography that she's written about her life and how all American Heritage Girls Foundation, how all that ties together and has given her life purpose. Folks, you need to get this book. Okay, this book, as well as American Heritage Girls, is so needful for such a time as this. You know, the liberal socialists who've been undermining the foundations of this nation for almost six decades are constantly focusing on capturing the hearts, minds, and spirits of our youth. They're playing the long game, one generation at a time. Patty Garibay recognized the dark path the Girl Scouts of America went down and did something to combat it. And the Lord has blessed her efforts. American Heritage Girl has, this organization has tens of thousands of members around the world. And Patty was inspired to write her autobiography with this in mind. And at the time of this recording, it is not yet released. It's scheduled to be released on August 4th of 2020. So right now, you can click the link below and be put on the pre-release notification list, but you must use the link down below. And if you're listening to this after August 4th of 2020, when you click the link, it'll take you straight to the book. Praise God. Now, you should be ordering not one, but two, three, or more copies. You can sow them into someone's life and impact and change their life forever. Get in touch with Patty using the links down below as well. You know, they do a lot of work through the churches. And there may be an American Heritage Girls chapter in your area right now. Go to the links down below and find out. If there's not a chapter in your area, get with your pastor, contact Patty and her organization, and start one. What a concept, right? You can change the direction of young girls to be in service to the Lord instead of the world. Praise the Lord. Go down to the show notes, get in touch with Patty, be added to the pre-release notification list on our book. Do it right now while it's fresh in your mind, and I'll talk to you tomorrow as we finish this interview with Patty Garibay. Until then, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this, your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.